Come take my hand and see the world around you. The time is right, just let the light surround you. And step by step, you feel it coming alive. The feeling deep down inside, and you've got nothing to hide. To reach the top, you've gotta keep on moving. Don't let it stop, just gotta keep on moving. I know you're doing your best, you're stepping up from the rest. Just keep on passing the test.
Happy Tuesday. Happy, happy Tuesday to you. If it is Tuesday, it is time once again to get powered up and energized for the week ahead with Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. So I hope that your week is off to a fantastic start. If you are here in Atlanta, in the Georgia area, we've been experiencing some freezing weather. So, you know, we're not too happy about that, but we're still grateful because despite the cold weather, it's been quite sunny. So we're grateful for the sunshine. We're grateful for life. We're grateful for health. And as always, if you can't find anything to be grateful for, just keep reminding yourself that you woke up this morning. So with that, we know that God has a plan for your life. So just be grateful for the life that you are enjoying today. So again, welcome to the program. As you know, this is where we stop by every Tuesday from 5:30 Eastern Standard Time to get powered up and energized for the week ahead and to remind ourselves of the important life goals. So there's about how many more weeks left in the year? So looking at the calendar, today being Tuesday, December 12th, we have about two more weeks left in the year. So still some time to work on those personal goals that you have set out for yourself in terms of being consistent. What are you doing? What will you do this week, next week, and the last week of January, of December 2023? To remain consistent with those life goals. So whether it's losing weight, going back to school, finding a new job, how are you moving along to ensure that in 2024, you are on a clearer path to achieving those goals? And again, if you are struggling, you can always jump on pushpast10.com, pushpast10.com, for our book with the life hacks, simple life hacks that you can use to remain consistent with your goals. So again, welcome to the program. December also means that we are gearing up for the carnival season in Dominica, which will be early February this year. So with that being said, we saw the Calypso eliminations, the first round of the Calypso competition last Saturday, December 9th. So I think there were about maybe 45 Calypsonians who went up to vie for that particular competition. And so the competition will continue through January and February until the culmination of that competition, where a Calypso king is announced in Dominica. So with elimination being on Saturday, I thought today we could go back to a program that I did some time ago with Calypso King Bob, as well as Dr. Steinberg Henry, on you know, the heritage of Calypso, Calypso as our culture, as well as Calypso as a teaching tool. How can we use our culture to teach the next generation that is coming up behind us? So I wanted to bring you that particular interview, and I'll let the entire interview run because it is a fascinating look as how we can use Calypso not only for our entertainment, not only for carnival season, but engaging with Calypso during the year so that we can use it as a teaching tool. So I want to thank you again for being here for another episode of Roots Connections. another episode of Untapped Potential. And yes, we will have Roots Connections tomorrow. We had a little bit of a stumble, but we will be having Dr. Triffa and Alex Bruno on. So you certainly do not want to miss this program. But as we get started, let us enjoy this number from the Marxian Smith, featuring Valencia. And it's a Christmas song called A Merry Little Christmas. So again, let's enjoy this one from Marxian Smith, Valencia J. Her name is actually Valencia. So Marxian Smith, Valencia J, and the Smith Brothers, A Merry Little Christmas. So enjoy this number and stay tuned for the rest of the program.
It's that time of Christmas when you put that stuff on the wish list, and you wish this and you wish that. We'll give love, we'll get it back. You got your Christmas gifts, yeah. I was on cookies on milk, yeah. A couple of dimes in the pocket, yeah. That thing you always wanted, yeah. When you have your birthday, you'll be so happy to cut the cake. Nothing will be done with great. And I dream of playing with the snow one day. You want it, yeah, they got it, yeah. You love it, yeah, they bought it, yeah. Remember the grandma's sweater, fuck all weather. Well, they count it, huh. It's the time of dreams, they feel like me. When they feel like me, when you look, you do me. Feel like she life ain't when they see gifts under the tree. Hey, Santa's coming, a go think of school. No, we always know as soon as you go that this time we're putting a show. We're ready to go on the vibe. You know that you gotta give it a time. Then we went back, went from back then. Everyone make you feel alive. I swear to God, I stuff every rhymes. Just like the sunset right in Christmas time. But it's all light though, cause I like to. We're making it feel so fine.
Here we are, as an old day. Happy days of yore.
Hey.
Faithful friends who are dear to us, got it near to us once more. Yeah.
From the earth, we all be together.
Open your heart, cause nothing on this earth is gonna keep us apart. We got love and that's all we really need from the one up above. And I can tell you that's the best part. I can imagine all the smiles on the face, thinking of the keys bringing joy to the place. Making up rules, there's no use, put names in the bottle. But if you know better, then don't be shy. Every time I reminisce of you, I wish I found a turkey bone that I miss. Put it down, take your time, tell me this. I think you remember all the memories by the mistletoe. Shake it up, turn it up high. Take your bounce, be yourself, gotta live your life. Get your drift, everybody get on up. You gotta get, bring the moon back so the beat won't stop.
Here we are, as in olden days.
Oh, How much Dominican history do you know? Want to learn some fun facts? We have a great and fun way to test your knowledge and learn more about our history. Get your copy of Dominic Anu, Dominica in Puzzle. Fun for the whole family. Available now on Amazon.com. Visit pushpast10.com to learn more. Email us at dominicainpuzzle@gmail.com or call 877-698-9894.
So as part of our identity. And I think you said it so eloquently last night during Anthony Drygo's program, where you and I think Steinberg would agree as well, that we are Calypso people. So I think I want that to be our focus today, the importance of Calypso as it relates to our identity as Dominicans, as Caribbean people of African and Kalinago descendants. So let's have a conversation on that. So why did you coin that phrase that we are Calypso people?
We are Calypso people because we have been a people of defiance, and our culture has been our strongest point. And what that defiance, I think we use our culture to express it in, and it has saved us from a lot of things. It is responsible for our development. It is responsible for our IQ, the things we look at, you know, the things we go for, our energy, you know, in terms of our survival. And that is why I figure that is that culture within us. For some reason, we always express it in some level of music, some kind of sound. And when you go back to look at our history in Africa, our ancestors, they communicated with the drums. There wasn't musical instruments at the time, but percussive instruments, and then the stuff like the kalimba came in and so on. But that is how the Africans communicated. That's how they sent messages from village to village, and we never lose that. You know, that was something that we did on the slave plantation. We sang and danced around a fire, and we sang about the system. We sang about the slave, the master. You know, the things that our oppressions. And I think that culture remained in us, and we call it Calypso today, which is a beautiful name. I think it was Kaiso. It was Kaiso at first, Kaiso, and maybe some Englishman came about and said, "Let's call it Calypso." So I think it's that culture of sing and chant, of expressing our hurt, our pain, and even our joys too. And you hear songs way back like Erica Woyoyo and so on, but for some reason we associate Calypso more with the German wine and up tempo and stuff, the Juve morning type of thing. But there's Calypso expressed in a very spiritual way as well, and Calypso is so well rounded, you know, it's so diverse. I love it so much, you know. It has taught me so many things because I've taught myself to embrace it in a different way from other people. And this is what I think. When you look at all of that, putting all of that together, I can safely conclude that we are a Calypso people.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Steinberg, would you like to chime in on that particular topic?
Yeah, I think it's well said by Bob when he introduced the concept of Calypso people. As I told him in Calypso Drift, I had coined, for some reason, we hear things as peoples of African descent and Kalinago descent, indigenous peoples in a sense, we hear things. And we hear things from our forests, we hear things from our trees, we hear things from our rivers, we hear things in the night. Obviously, that type of mythologizing can be literally drummed out of, might have been drummed out of us, and so replaced probably by religion, just as our practice of Obia or voodoo might have been drummed out of us and replaced by modern medicine. Actually, Dominica has a 1904 Obia Act. Probably somebody should write a Calypso on that. but you know, it's very interesting that Bob should say that. We are a people who listen not only with our ears, but with our entire skeletal structure. We were you know, and call it calypsoic, call it. But the key thing I found about what Bob said, he said we are a people of defiance. And that takes us into the post 15th century period. But if you think of a little before that, it was a call and response way of life.
Mm-hmm.
So you found that the concept I does not exist in many of our Creole languages. It's always moi or me. Mm-hmm. It was always more community, collective. And that is an expression of the calypsoic. And if you come through to the Dominican scene, you hear the belly dancing, Kumaye, Makalevere, another said, E-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. We were always a call and response people. Never really the quote-quote individualistic. We were always communal. And that had a way of creating a kind of terror. It was frightening in a sense, because we didn't use guns and bombs or explosives, but we use voices, and these voices and drums were huge instruments. So if Bob would care to call that calypso, but I think he would go back a little and say before it was Caiso, chop dust traced it to somewhere in Egypt where he found it seemed to have meant bravo. When something great was said, somebody responded, well done. So I suspect that it was all collective, but it was also performative. You see, so it was defiant, it was performative, and it seemed to have come out of a place other than just our single talent within ourselves. You see, we heard things in our environment. We heard things among each other. We were not just depending on the church. We were spirit people. And so when Bob mentioned, Stan might be able to tell us a bit about that spiritual thing. Edward Brathwaite of Barbados always argued in his work that we are a sacred and secular people. And by that he meant we could move from saying, Erica, why, I, and in the next minute we sing it, Jesus love me, this I know, and it really didn't make a difference to us. You see, so that liminality, oh, there's a lot here. So there's something beautiful about that concept of defiance, where we stood for justice through song. That is brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, absolutely. We see it in the with our other Caribbean counterparts as well. We see it in Jamaican music, the reggae. I mean, Bob Marley was technically a politician in his music.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see it in Haitian compa as well. You know, they sing a lot about their cries and their own their woes, you know. So I think when you look at Caribbean people generally, we have always used our music to bring our points across. And it's interesting. I really wish that we will continue delving deeper into the why, how did it happen? Why is it happening? And how is it helping us in our lives in the continuation of our development? This is a very, very important topic in this time. And
it's something
that's not touched at all. It's just not touched. It's like the universities are not talking about it, but we need to introduce it. You know what I'm saying, Simone?
Yes, and I think you guys both alluded to some important points, the importance of the education. But I think we have to use the education in terms of showing Calypso and our art forms in general as a teaching tool. How can we teach who we are, our identity, our defiance, especially to the younger generations coming up behind us using Calypso? Because we've used Calypso to document so much of our history. I can listen to any particular Calypso from any particular time and tell you exactly what was going on in Dominica at that time. So I think, you know, towards the end of this discussion, I want us to contemplate the option of using this art form as a tool for education, a tool for promoting our identity, for teaching who we are as a people, and just giving the younger people that exposure using Calypso and our art forms as a tool. Thoughts on that?
Steve Hyacinth, who was a former education, a permanent secretary, minister for education, he said he praised the Grand Bay Secondary School for introducing visual and performance arts into their curriculum. That is important. Now, Rosamond John was a teacher I knew long ago. I think she was either from the Peabush or so community. And at the time, she was at St. Martin's School when I knew, or either that or Goodwill Junior. And she used to use calypso. Now, listen to the multiplicity of dimensions that can emerge from it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody sings, let us say you have somebody like Lady Star singing about Baal, B-A-I-L, you know, who get Baal. You know, it seems like if you take a pack of cheese, you're not getting Baal. But if you, you know, if for some reason you seem to have moved from one small bicycle to a super sports car, you know, without no explanation, you know, and some you caught up with something, or you get in bail, people, $50,000, $100,000. Now, the word bail becomes, she used to take the song lyric, take a line, the line became a sentence, so the children could use a sentence, use words, they could form a sentence. They could look at the concept of bail. They could look at the concept of the court. They could also dance because that was their physical exercise for the morning. They could sing a line from the song. They could count the number of words in a song, and that was their math exercise. So in a sense, she used one song and she transformed it into a multiplicity of subject areas for the day.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
You see, so there are ways in which those songs can be weaved into a person. For instance, I drew like reference last night to a song when Spider say, this morning I was listening to Dice singing Animal Farm. When Dice sings Animal Farm, you immediately hear George Orwell and you say, what was that book about? How did Pat Heron get those lines? What is he saying? You know, the rat in the mortars, it won't drive in the cheese. Nice. What was that? And that is a political metaphor. What are these statements about? When Bob sings about, is we the sportsmen, that has really worked to push Dominica. What was happening at the time, Simone, as you said? Mm-hmm. You could listen to a calypso and it could capture for you a historical period.
And absolutely.
As you mentioned that sign, let me just jump in there. At the time of that line, when that song is with the musicians, Sanford was doing very well in Sanford, the Kalinago cricket player.
Yes, I had him on recently.
Yeah, right, he was representing. Yes. He was representing Dominica on the West Indies cricket team. So I said, "Is we and Sanford who does play representing?" Yeah.
Absolutely. So if you're just joining us, we're celebrating Calypso Day right here on TDN Radio, tdnradio.net, tdntv.net, and Push Past 10. And we have the honor of having Mr. Steinberg Henry and Calypso King Bob with us today as we talk about Calypso as our identity and how we can embrace Calypso in terms of making it a teaching tool. And I think, Bob, that would add very nicely to that consciousness that you were talking about in terms of raising the consciousness of the people, because now we have an opportunity to keep Calypso ever present and that way raise the consciousness and raise the amount of play that Calypso gets on the radio. But something else that stood out to me with the interview that you did with Anthony Drygo on This Week in Interview is that you had visited somewhere else, I forget where it was, and you saw products that were Calypso. Yeah. There was Calypso cake. There were and it struck me because we have to think of all of this as a brand. So there are lessons for us to learn in terms of marketing and creating a brand out of Calypso. And I always like to think of Dominica as not the population that is physically on the island, but everyone who is abroad and the huge population of 150 Dominicans that are outside of Dominica. So there's a huge market for that. So I think that was a very important consideration. Would you like to speak on that topic?
Well, the thing is, it's so simple, it's so easy. because the word calypso does not belong to any one person. And you just have to have a concept, have an idea, and you attach calypso to it, and it becomes everybody's thing. You know, it's very simple, and I think the Bajans latched onto that so easily. Right now, the first time I passed through there, I think there was a calypso punch. And then the next time I went through Barbados, I was in a duty-free shop. I remember seeing calypso rum, calypso sweetie, and calypso cake. I'm sure by now there might be some kind of calypso cigarette or something like that, you know. Or something else that society doesn't really need. But it was really interesting to see the creativity, you know, how they can help preserve the name calypso. But Stein, for some reason, I have the feeling I would like to go back to Kaiso instead of keeping calypso. I like my history, you know. I think that's, you know, it's stronger when you're attached to your history. And I think if we go back to Kaiso, how did that become Kaiso and then calypso? You know, calypso is so grammatical, it's so English, so British.
Yeah, well, Kaiso. Actually, I suspect that when the you know, Holy Church always captures the European evidence. And I think he was able to find traces coming out of Venezuela to that moved the name to. Here is something I discovered with the, and I don't know how it fits into this yet. But you see the car in front of a lot of what we do, ka isu ka, you know, in Creole we say kamashi, kashati, kauli, kakui, ka mwe ka ali, mwe te ka ali, mwe te ke. What is that ka? And I was able to trace it. It's very strange that it is before we use the entire infinitive. So, you know, when we went to school and we studied French, you had the verb aller. You said, je vais, tu vas, il va, nous allons, vous allez. That was je. But remember, we don't have je in Creole. We have moi. So we take up the je thing and we say, moi, ka. And you know what? It's strange. We do not conjugate the verb aller. We use the entire thing, aller. You know, mweka. And the ka, in a sense, is a very important syllable because it means the immortal being that is rejoined to the divine. No, I read that from, I read that
you
out of
you ready for that?
Yes.
Oh, I'm ready.
the concept K-A-K-A, that car that we have in front, everything, it is Egyptian.
I get the impression it's like it puts an idea into motion.
It puts an idea into motion.
Yes.
It puts an idea into motion. And I think we may wish, you see, Simone, what has happened? We need to reclaim as Dominicans a unique thing in the Caribbean. We are we are excellent. You know, our people who lived in who were born in the 1920s and 30s, men and women, you know, they were excellent philosophers. We lost track of our ability to debate and to think through stuff. Because if I go back to my grandfather and those days, those guys used to stand up and have discussions. And if you didn't define your terms, you couldn't join their group. You know, but if you want to define your terms now, fellas, we'll tell you in modern discourse, you have to go back to Socrates and Plato, but we don't have to do all that. Our fellas used to. So the concept of the ka, we as Dominicans, we take it, we say ka iso, ka iso, ka iso. We begin to play with that concept and determine nobody else has to do it. Trinidad doesn't have to do it. We just decide we're going to take the concept Kaiso and we're going to try to determine what is it saying to us as a people, for ourselves as a people. And that is where I find I like to revel, in a place where we take things and we begin to define them for ourselves.
And that is debate. That is where the debate aspect comes in. And Calypso itself is debate, you know, because a man
it is.
And he makes a point. And then another person comes and responds to it. So it's a debate. And, yeah. and that is something we need to, it's also another thing we need to make a staple in our schools. Because mm-hmm. with debate, you have to come and prove your point. You have to stand up behind it and say why you think this thing is blue or why you think
yeah, and think of the potential, Steinberg and Bob, in terms of just having one song and having a debate among the kids in a particular school and just putting it on Facebook Live and exposing it to the world and bringing back the essence of a good debate. How do we debate without arguing? How do we debate without name calling? Because I always think that it shows a less intellectual capacity if you're in a conversation and you're trying to prove a point and you resort to calling names. That means you're clearly out of ammunition. You have nothing else you can debate on the topic. So now you're going to choose to attack the person.
And I would say boldly, that's the element that's missing in our politics right now. You know, that is why our mm-hmm. politics has become very quote unquote crass, because it's like everybody just free to say what they want without coming to prove their point. Mm-hmm. You can go in the public and malign somebody else and nobody can, you know, come up against you and say, no, this is not true, whatever the case may be. I think the whole thing of debate needs to come back to our politics, to our schools. And very much mm-hmm. importantly, our schools, because it has to start again. I always used to say something I wanted to make part of my platform is to push the concept. I think I'm always out of the box, maybe too far out of the box, but I wanted to push the concept of teaching a nation how to live again and to inculcate good manners in children and do not steal, go back to the golden rules and those kinds of things. I think if we do that, we will see less looting after hurricanes because people will learn to respect each other. You know, it's a wrong mm-hmm. thing to do. But mm-hmm. for some reason, the wrong things seem to be okay to do right now. And all of these things are Calypso topics, you know. And
because Calypso touches on all of them. Yes, it does.
So it going back to what you just said, Bob, it touches on manners. Because when you learn proper debate techniques, you learn to wait your turn. Right? It borders on respect because you learn in the debating of using a calypso, for example, it teaches you to respect your opponent. You may not agree, but that does not mean you have to become vile and disrespectful. You still have to respect the other person's opponent. So again, if you're just joining us, we're having this wonderful conversation right here on tdnradio.net, tdntv.net, and pushpast10 on Facebook. And I'm truly enjoying this conversation about just showing Calypso as our identity and also showing the potential that we have in that particular art form in terms of elevating, you know, some of the morals of our society, as Bob just alluded to, in terms of respect and manners and just being a decent human being, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because even the idea of Stein will agree with me that masking allows for the Calypsonian to be respected.
Yes.
You can say many, many things without mentioning a particular person, and for the public will just know. So there's that level of respect. If we would bring back the masking as a strong element in the Calypso, it could mm-hmm. help our conversations in Calypso. You know, Calypso should be a conversation, you know.
And then it is a certain, there is a quality of, there's an intellectual innovation. We don't call it that, for instance. Just for a guy to determine that he's going to cover this particular image is a deliberate decision that has been taken to either protect, preserve, or to protect self or other. Those are very important social and political statements. Those are matters of ethics. You know, those are very important things that are even practiced in song, and they were fine traditions. You know what they are akin to, Simone?
Mm-hmm.
When you go to church and you meet an old lady and she say, "How is mommy? How mm-hmm. is daddy? They are well." When you go home, say hello for me.
Mm-hmm.
It is a caring and a taking care of, and being able. And here is another element that emerges under all of this masking. Our ability, which is found in theater, our ability to laugh at ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
You see, for some reason, it raises a whole, just imagine how much that weaves into theater, where you go to the Arawak House of Culture and you sit to watch a play, and the play tells us about ourselves, and we learn to laugh at a Steve Hyacinth event or an Alwyn Bully theatrical piece, and we realize, oh boy, that is also calypsoic. But here is
laughing
another matter.
At our own reality.
Laughing at our own reality. I love the jesters. For instance, that's why I always love Sour Sour, Walk Sock, Lady V, even Son of the Saint in his borderline. Here's what I always thought, Simone. Mm-hmm. Every time I heard those names, those weird calypso names at the elimination, I always thought, what if we got cameras? We did the recording of those guys at the Elim. And because we have a vibrant artificial intelligence group at the State College, so we have that calypso coming on, and he's singing a very strange, a line like Elf. Probably Lady V singing about, a hole or something like that. And you just move from the image of Lady V to an animation of Lady V.
Mm-hmm.
And you're running her lines, but you're seeing other movements that are mimicking her reality. And you have this song lyric also coming at times, so a person looking at it can also sing with it. We can do a lot. Those things can sell. And people can come to look forward to those things and say, oh, there's going to be an animation of I remember when this guy Sour sang a song. Was it Sour Sour Walk Sock Bob who sang about finger licking chicken?
Who was that, Bob?
Walk Sock.
Walk Sock. No. Finger licking chicken. Finger in, finger out, And you almost got the impression. That's why I like eliminations. Eliminations is a lot about animation and mimicry and laughter and weird dressing. It is something that, Bob, am I thinking too much? There is a guy called Mikhail Bakhtin. He's a Russian theorist. He coined a concept called the carnivalesque. And Simon, what is it? The carnivalesque is what we used to call in Roseau the Papi Show wedding. The exaggeration of the form. You see a big head, a big bottom, a big breast. The exaggeration and the movement of the form outside of its normal self. That is calypsoic. That is a calypso expression. Because it was a way of not actually doing the identity of the form, because you see what we call in West Indian literary mythology, we talk about the Anansi, the trickster, that which is shaping but also keeps shape shifting, that which is itself but never itself. Oh my God, this is physics. So these are some of the things that when we have the capacity to do it. We just have the capacity to say, okay, this year we are going to have a finals, or we're going to have a 2022 Calypso competition. From eliminations, we're going to begin to record those guys, and we want State College students to come and look at it and create animations of them. Oh boy, people are thrilled. People are thrilled to watch the animations that they do. You see? And that that goes to Instagram. You see? So those are some of the things that I think, and those things are monetized.
Yes.
You see? So there's a lot of capacity, it's just that the dominant Trinidad model is one that is lucrative economically. It is engrossed in a carnival thrill that thrills and invites, and so the soca is cut into it. And granted, those guys are exceptionally brilliant at what they do. But we have a unique, it is the uniqueness of our product that I think baffles us.
Yeah, so I think that's a brilliant idea and something to consider, right, Bob? Somehow, and we're talking about using Calypso in education. So it fits perfectly on that level. So as we can see, we have different levels of education where we can integrate Calypso, and even right here on Facebook Live, having symposiums and seminars on teaching the art of writing a song with Pat Aaron. So I think the potential is limitless. Do you have any thoughts on that, Bob?
Well, I know it already exists where in Calypso, in our education system in some form, because I, on more than two occasions, I think I have had to sit with graduating students who are graduating out of the form, to assist them with their SBA, because they were advised by their teacher, okay, we choose a Calypsonian and sit with him and ask him questions about his craft and so on, and go in depth with Calypsonian. Why was the word used and those kind of things? So I've done it with two students from the at least two students from the convent high school in the past. So it already exists, but how do we harness it and how do we make it more of a staple in our education system, which is where I would like this conversation to go. So this conversation has to go into the universities, into the high schools and so on. And people like me have to get easier, go to the primary schools and talk Calypso, at least try to introduce the level, the concept that we are discussing now at a much higher level,
Yes.
Yeah.
I certainly believe the state college has to be engaged. And there are a number of teachers in the literary field and the English language field, or linguistics in general. There are teachers who teach Spanish, who teach French. There are teachers of literature. There are teachers of English language. And there are teachers of sociology. Those kinds of people we have to, and teachers of artificial intelligence and computer algorithms, we have to include those people, literally engage them in an education project.
Yes, and I want to touch on your writing, Steinberg, before we run out of time. But I also want to acknowledge everyone who's joining us via Facebook Live. And we want to hear from you. We want to hear, how do you see Calypso as our identity, which is our topic of discussion this morning? Calypso as our identity. So why do you think of Calypso as our identity? If you're joining us via Facebook Live and you would like to join into the discussion. So Steinberg, I want to take a look as I share our screen, and I want you to tell us a little bit more about your writing, in particular your books, Calypso Drift and Calypso Drift and Water. So kind of just tell us why it was important. And first of all, why Calypso Drift? Why that title?
The idea of the drift was always one that Calypso was and it was not. It is and it is not. It was a negation. Now, I don't just write things. C.L.R. James, the Trinidadian philosopher and thinker, he once defined essence. And C.L.R. James was brilliant. He stood with all of the great theorists of the 1930s and 40s, from all of those guys, from Trotsky and all. And C.L.R. James used to say, essence, what is essence? Usually when we think of essence, when we used to make juice, when we put like essence in the juice, you used to give it flavor. But C.L.R. James said something that was very interesting. He said, essence is the movement of negation. So essence doesn't always have to be pleasant. What creates essence sometimes can be critical and not necessarily agreeable. Calypso Drift, the concept came to me from Walt Whitman, the American poet who wrote Leaves of Grass. And the idea of the drift meant to him that which was obvious, but was also hidden. That which was evident, that which moved along. It always moved along, but it took up shades of form. So that I mean, there are times you saw Calypso. There are times Calypso was masked. There are times Calypso was invisible. There are times Calypso was, so it had various forms in the drift. So that was what I particularly liked about it. It was a shifting, ever-changing phenomenon. Calypso Drift and Water brought a sensibility to me that said, not only is it ever-changing, but it is ever changing with water.
Mm-hmm.
And what was water to me? Water to me was probably the leading commodity in the 21st century, and it was in abundance in Dominica. I actually sent, and so those were the things that was what I was thinking of at the time. And water to me meant throngs of people. It meant a cleansing. It meant a washing. It also meant a flooding. It also meant a spiritual blessing. But you know the practical uses of water. I mean, without water, we are, you know, cooking, washing, cleaning, you name it, sanitary conditions, health, hygiene, and all those things. So how does Calypso, that ever-changing thing, come to terms with that thing that, you know, one of the things the little children tell you, they say, my children would say, Papa, you know, I cannot hold water. It really is in my hand, but it does not stay there. So Tisa, that is the level at which I was thinking of it. Patton Dice wrote something about Dowasco, right, Bob, in 2020 for Dowasco and their water and the prices of Dowasco water.
Water.
That is one expression of it. That is actually the material, physical representation of it. You can chant that down. You can look at this. You can chant in that dimension. If you build a lot of, I was fascinated by the fact that a number of holdings, or should I say, were being built along Dominica's west coast to begin the shipment of water. And I remembered that, here's the defiance part and the protection part, and I will end here. Essentially, what I want to say in essence, Calypso and Calypsonians must protect Dominica's water from exploitation.
Yes, and just...
So I took a stand.
We all should play a part in that.
Yes, I took a stand by naming my book Calypso Drift and Water in its beauty, but also something that we needed. Yes, we had to sell. Yes, we had to let the world know this water contained some precious elements, but at the same time, we had to preserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And in Calypsos, we could sing about, just imagine what you could sing on the concept of water. So that was what brought me to this. Probably that's a long answer, but Simone, that is what it is.
Oh no, that's perfect. And for anyone who's interested in getting a copy of your books, just kind of give us a sense of what we can expect in the books.
Well, two questions emerged here. The books, hardcover, paperback, and Kindle format, are all at Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
In April 2020, when I launched, in August 2020, when I did Calypso Drift and Water, we were in the heart of the pandemic. I didn't send any books to bookstores. Everything just stayed. It's difficult because up to this moment, shipping between Dominica, the States and Dominica is difficult. But I am trying to find a way to be able to get... I sold Calypso Drift in Dominica. That sold pretty fast. I was very impressed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very, very impressed that Calypso Drift was sold so quickly. So Calypso Drift and Calypso Drift and Water, I'm going to try to make them available in the actual bookstores. But at present, they are Amazon, all of the Amazons. I'm Amazon Japan, I'm Amazon Canada. They are Chapters, they are Indiegogo.com. So those books are available in all the formats. For those who still work online, the Kindle sells for just under $7. Wow, I start to sell now. So, but you know, you can quickly Kindle it down. And you know something I always tend to forget talking about books? The Dominican artist Earl Etienne, he did some fascinating sketches for me that appear about in 15 spaces inside the book. So, for instance, probably after every seven chapters, you'd see a sketch. And the sketches were cultural. They could be a Calypsonian with a microphone, and Simone. You could see two people dancing ballet. You'd see a drum. So I placed in some cultural bits, so-called performance cultural bits inside of this. And I don't know if I answered your question, but
yes,
those,
you did.
Yes.
So yet another teaching tool, right, Bob? Something else we can use as we continue to discover our identity through Calypso?
Yeah, I remember when I went to UWE to do arts and cultural enterprise management, and there were so many books I had to buy. And most of the authors were Trinidadian, because it really needed a lot of reading material. The most significant book I think I came across, I don't know if you've heard of that one, Steinberg, but Theodore O'Donnell's book.
Oh! Yeah.
And that one is deep, 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 you know. And
Theodore O'Donnell, Horkheimer, Walter Benjamin gave me an idea, Simone, of what is history. And I think that is important for Calypso. We grew up thinking history is the study of past, present, and future. Just past people, places, and events. Walter Benjamin says, yes, that's true too. But history is also now.
Powerful.
And that changed. Because you see, as you said, powerful.
I missed the last part of what you said.
He said history has been known to be the study of the past, people, places, and events. But history is not only of the past, it is also about now. And you know what that means to me? You see, as I said, now, that word is gone. You see, when you said, that word is gone. So that's gone. The past. It's
absolutely
gone. So we are making history as
in
we
our
speak.
Present.
Oh,
yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Well, thank you for this conversation. I'm so happy that we had this opportunity to come on. Thank you to TDNRadio.net for the special presentation of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone at 11 a.m. on a Thursday. We usually have the program Tuesdays at 5:30 p.m. So it's great to have this opportunity to tap into the minds of King Bob and Steinberg Henry as we recognize Calypso as our identity. And as we can see, we have the tools. We have the tools to be able to use this as a teaching tool in terms of promoting our identity and getting the exposure that we so desire for Calypso. So again, if you're looking to pick up a copy of Steinberg Henry's book, Calypso, Drift and Water, please feel free to jump on Amazon.com and be sure to check it out there.
And also, Simone, it is on Sam and these guys have created a beautiful site for me, SteinbergHenry.com.
Good.
And it can also be sourced. I must say before Bob leaves, Simone, the first time I met Bob, he was outside DBS. And I looked at him and I said, you do Shango.
Yes,
and he looked at me and he said,
I remember that.
And then he told me, yeah. he told me, what is Shango? I said, I think we better go and research it in the library.
And luckily, the library is just down the road from DBS.
I researched it and I actually wrote a song about it, the Shango, Child of the Shango. I hope soon that song will be recorded. I may not be the one singing it because I wrote it for another artist. And Stein, I'll send it to you. I remember that very clearly. You told me the Shango and you explained it. I was rough and ready at the time.
Stein,
you have a perfect memory, man. You have a perfect memory. But I thank you for that. I thank you for that knowledge. You see that history?
It was so good.
Thank you so much, man. That's taken me a long way. Trust me.
Yes, excellent.
Yes, and of course, before we leave for the end of the program, Bob, I want you to tell us everything that's going on today and especially the event for this evening. So kind of just walk us through everything that we can participate in today, this being the first annual Calypso Day, and what we can expect with the event this evening.
Well, the day so far has been going on as I intended it to be. I wanted it to be about discussion, and there's been discussions on the radio and so on. The news have been promoting the vibe and so on and sensitizing people. And there's Calypso playing. I'm sitting in an office right now. The Calypso music is playing. I don't know if you can hear it in the background.
Yes, I can.
And also then tonight we will go to rest for a little while as Calypsonians so we can... PJ and I, we had an interview earlier. So we can have this big show at the Old Mill Cultural Center, which will be carried live on the internet this evening. I think TDN Radio is going to be a part of that through their partners with
I've pinned the link to this video, so everyone can simply click on the link and buy the pay-per-view option if you're not in Dominica.
Right. So we're building the consciousness of Calypso, because we are the Calypso people. And tonight we're gonna have fun. We're gonna include the public in what we're doing tonight. It's gonna be a blast. So be part of that tonight. Stay tuned, guys. I got a little sneak preview of the rehearsal last night. After the interview, I walked straight into the panel. I was practicing those old tunes. And so we've been having some fun, and I know for sure it's going to continue to be an annual event. And I'm happy that Simon, you and Stein, you are part of it.
Yes, thank you. Any final thoughts?
Untapped Potential with Dr. Simon. If you live in Canada, the US, and the UK and are looking for Dominica products, including cocoa sticks, bay rum, coffee, soaps, crafts, and other popular Dominica items, then look no further. You can now shop on buydominicaonline.com, a secure, easy-to-navigate website selling a wide variety of Dominica-made and Dominica-inspired products. When you shop on buydominicaonline.com, you are helping to grow Dominica's economy. Go to buydominicaonline.com and enjoy home away from home.
To a portion of the program that we did with Dr. Steinberg Henry, as well as King Calypso King Daryl Bob, on how can we integrate Calypso more into our society. So I hope that you found some value in this program. And just a reminder before I forget, this being the Christmas season, I will be taking off from next week, and I will be back on your radio on January 9th. So grateful for the time to be able to spend with our daughter, Sophia, and my husband, Paul. We are heading off to New York to spend some time with the family and just to decompress, because we spend the entire year working so hard at everything that we do that we like to have this opportunity to just decompress, enjoy some family time, enjoy some sightseeing in New York, and just being still for a little while, because as we know, life goes by so quickly and the year goes by so quickly. So during that time, yes, you have homework. During that time, I want you to already start thinking about what can you do in 2024 to advance your life. So what area of your life are you still looking to advance? I personally, I am still looking to grow my social media management initiative that I started back in 2023. I am looking to help more companies embrace social media as a platform for advertising. I am looking to promote our culture. I am looking to promote our business. So the journey continues for me. The journey of promoting our culture and our businesses continue for me. But in 2024, we are also looking at, you know, this double murder that took place in Soufria in Dominica, where the owners of Coulibri Ridge were brutally killed by one of their neighbors over fighting over access to a public road. So we have to be very concerned about this level of violence that is going on in Dominica. So in 2024, we are praying for justice for the family of the owners of Coulibri Ridge, so that you know, others who have similar thoughts of taking people's lives in Dominica will be put on alert that this will not be accepted. So again, you know, I want to thank you for joining us for another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. It is always a pleasure to be with you every Tuesday from 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. And if you miss any of the episodes, any of the previous episodes of Untapped Potential, remember you can always log on to Push Past 10, that is www.pushpast10.com, and click on the missed episode tab so that you will be able to hear all the past episodes that you may have missed
along the way. And if you too would like to be a part of the movement to advance Dominica in any particular way, you already know that you can reach me at pushpast10@gmail.com, and I will be more than happy to listen to your idea with regards to how we can advance Dominica, because at the end of the day, I think that is what most of us want to see for our beautiful Caribbean island. So with that, I want to wish you an early Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, whatever you celebrate at this time of the year. I want you to remember to try to not stress over the material things. Let us try to use this time more as an opportunity to enjoy our families, enjoy spending time with the ones that we love, maybe trying to mend some relationships that have gone sour in the past. So I think that should be the focus. And don't forget the reason for the season. You know, if you put God first in your life, you will be surprised and amazed at everything that flows from it. So with that, I want to wish you again Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, whatever you celebrate at this time of the year. And I will see you on January 9th at 2024 as we continue to journey along. So with that, take care and have yourself a